Any college baseball fans out there? If you're traveling to see your team and need a place to stay, two words for you: Graduate Hotels.
We stayed at the Nashville location for the SEC tournament. It was awesome. Beautiful rooms, cool vibe, and perfect location. They have over 30 hotels in the best college towns. And get this, they'll give you up to 30% off your stay with code CRSHOW. That's CRSHOW. Good at any Graduate Hotel, any location, up to 30% off. Book today at graduatehotels.com.
Last season on the Choosing Sides F1 podcast, we established unequivocally that F1 is the pinnacle of motorsports.
We did, but honestly, I was left with more questions than answers, Tony.
I'm Tony Karen Brown, a tech, culture, and F1 commentator.
And I'm Michael Costa, comedian from The Daily Show.
Join us for season two of Choosing Sides F1.
Our F1 102, if you will.
And get all of the answers.
All of them? Listen to Choosing Sides F1 on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts,
or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Saleha Mohsen, and I've covered economic policy for years and reported on how it impacts people across the United States. In 2016, I saw how voters were leaning towards Trump and how so many Americans felt misunderstood by Washington. So I started The Big Take DC. We dig into how money, politics, and power shape government and the consequences for voters. With new episodes every Thursday, you can listen to The Big Take DC on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, thanks for listening to the Best of Covino and Rich podcast. Be sure to catch us live every day from 5 to 7 p.m. Eastern, 2 to 4 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio.
Find your local station for Covino and Rich at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
I ended up going to the bar with my wife and kids. First time I took the kids to like the bar. They had a kids menu. It was great.
Yeah.
So I went to the
Never
bar.
Never too early to bond over some booze.
I told my son, I was like, buddy, Ben, this is your first time with daddy at a bar watching a game.
Did you do old school like Jaeger bombs with Ben, your three-year-old?
I poured him some orange juice and I was like, you drink it real quick, but you just get the juice.
Do you have manmosas?
So I'm at the bar with my wife and kids and another couple that's visiting us and their kid. And we're at a bar in Woodland Hills, California. And everyone's rooting for the Heat. And I'm like, there can't be that many Miami transplants. There can't be that many people that love Jimmy Butler. And then I connected the dots. We're in L.A. Do people in L.A. hate the Celtics that much?
Well, yeah.
That it felt like a bar. No, but it felt like a bar, Danny G, of all Heat fans. And I was like, man, they're loving the Heat here. People are standing up like, yeah, Butler. And I'm like, what's going on?
Yeah, can't root for the Nuggets, who obviously took the Lakers out and took their chance away of going to the finals. And definitely can't root for the Celtics as a Lakers fan. So all of us were behind Jimmy Butler.
Bro, I felt like I was in South Beach. Meanwhile, I'm in the Valley here in California. But everyone rooting for the Heat last night was never really close. But as Covino said, on to Thursday, game one. And during our pre-show meeting, we all had the same feeling. Is anyone rooting for the Denver Nuggets?
I don't want to tell you what Mike, who runs this place, said.
Who?
Mike?
Yeah, he's back. He's back to running. He was on vacation last week.
Can we back up for a second, though? How important was that injury to Jason Tatum on the very first possession?
Ooh, yeah.
Changed the entire game.
Like, right off the bat, he twists his ankle. Ankle gives out. He's in pain the rest of the game. That absolutely played
a
factor.
But jumping out to that start, Boston could never recover.
No. Mm-mm. And I said to Rich off the air, actually on our Patreon earlier today, do we take that lesson into life? Like, set the tone early with everything you do? Because the Heat set it early, and the Celtics were just playing catch-up the rest of the game. They were just out of the game because, again, they set the tone. So if you're at a meeting or you're at a mixed company dinner, do you just set the tone like, I'm the alpha guy, you're making the jokes, you're running the show?
I always tell you when you go on vacation, what do you do as soon as you get to the hotel room?
Set the tone.
It's my rule that I promise you is good for any relationship. The minute you get to your hotel during a vacation, drop your bags.
And drop your pantalones.
And drop your pants. Because if you do it right away, you're going to have a great vacation.
Set the tone.
You immediately, who's in a bad mood? Drop the bags, concierge guy waiting there for money. All right, here's an unnecessary
$10. As long as it's a nice hotel. Yeah, can't get away with this with, you know.
Yeah, but you're laying down the groundwork of like, yeah, we're here to have a good time. The Heat were like, yo, we're here to win. Yeah, and they started off early. It's like a fight,
Danny G.
A lot of times when you come out strong,
it's hard to come back after that, right? Like, yo, I'm setting the tone now. You know who does a masterclass of this just in life? Our boss, Don.
Yeah.
Dude, that guy walks in the room, and he lets everybody know right away.
Who's the big dog?
I'm the big dog. You thought you were the big dog, but now the big dog is here.
I mean, Don's a good example, but I was thinking more, my vacation is pretty much a perfect
example.
You go
example.
On vacation, you're in the lobby, they're going over, well, on the resort, we have the, you're like, yeah, that's great and all. I got to get to the room to set the tone.
Yeah. Tatum's ankle played a big part in that, Danny G, but the Heat did come out and, you know, smacked
them
right
in the
face.
And then when the Celtics were missing all those shots, how did they fix it?
Dude.
Did they bolster down on defense? No, they chucked up more three-pointers and more shots.
And that was bad, dude. That was so bad. So no recovering after that. So, again, the Heat 103, Celtics 84. They move on. And the question we ask now is, based on Rich's assessment, what he saw in L.A., and based on just the overall, you know, temperature and vibe that we pick up nationwide, is the world rooting for Jimmy Butler in the Heat, and why?
Yes.
Because we have our theories. We want to know why. Are we wrong? Clearly, if you're a Denver Nuggets fan, and they do exist, yeah, we get it. You're rooting for them. We're talking if you have no horse in the race.
There's more fans of chicken nuggets.
Yeah.
There's than
more
the
fans
Denver
of
nuggets.
Dino nuggets. There's more fans of Roy Rogers nuggets. Remember those?
Those are fantastic.
Those were
back
so good.
Truck stop nuggies?
Those were so good.
Well, point is, set the tone in life. Set the tone like the Heat did in first quarter last night. But who should the world be rooting for? Because I have a theory on this, and we're not making sense. But it's
well,
all...
Well, Mike, who runs this place, alluded to the fact that, like, who? Why would we be rooting for that goon? I think he called him a goon.
Big Jokic?
Goon.
Yeah. By rooting for the Denver Nuggets... Hey, Monsi, hear me out. Let's chat, okay? Monsi.
Hi, Monsi.
Hi.
Monsi Bolaños, everybody.
Who's a goon?
Jokic.
Oh.
Oh, Mike's a goon, too.
Yeah, no. Mike is a total goon who does not run this place. Carry on.
All right. So, if you root for the Nuggets, you're validating the international reach the NBA has. Jokic, a kid growing up, watch the NBA, right? So, if you root for the Nuggets, you're validating the reach of the NBA now. What a great story. You're rooting for a team that was built slowly but surely, that has stunk traditionally, that finally built their way to a championship. And you'd be rooting for a team that has zero NBA championships.
Been around since 76.
Yet, we're rooting for a team that has won three in the past 15 to 20 years. A team that built the big three with LeBron and Bosh and D-Wade. Shaq came over to win one.
So it doesn't make sense.
There's a winning tradition in Miami. They've won three. Why is the world?
I'll tell you why. Monty knows exactly why.
For Miami, is Jokic,
JB.
Is it Jimmy Butler?
It is.
I think Jimmy Butler is a big factor, but that's not it. I think it's just been their entire progress in the playoffs, losing their first play-in game, then going in as an eighth seed. Yeah. I just think it's their whole story.
That's another great point.
That it's not, but Jimmy Butler, obviously a factor. And then you have Caleb Martin, you have Gabe Vincent. All of those, I think, are adding to the story. I think
like
there's
the
just like a lot
story?
Of layers. Yeah.
Is it the underdog story or is it the fact, and I'm posing this question, is it the fact that Jimmy Butler's likability and his passion and his heart that's so noticeable when you watch trumps the overall skill set of the Denver Nuggets? Like, you watch Denver, you're like, wow, these guys are good. This team is great.
Right.
Does his likability trump the greatness that we see in the Nuggets? And it seems to be the case. If we're wrong, by all means, 877-99 on Fox. But we are assuming that most people are rooting for the
Heat.
And
listen, I expect, and we got it last week, I expect the Denver fan base, you know, hate on Twitter and Instagram. I expect it. I'm not rooting against you, Denver, just for the record.
Solid
I'm just
squad.
Saying, I'm just giving you the general consensus I feel is that I don't know anyone that's like, yeah, Nuggets, baby, let's go. Like, that's not the sentiment.
If and it team, should be. That's your point.
Yeah,
it should be. Because they've never won, and they're a solid and likable team. It's not like they're not likable.
Right, they're not, but they're just not flashy, and they're just not quiet. And also, we don't get a lot of Denver games unless you live in Denver.
Yeah.
Like, I think there's just so many different factors to it that people have not seen. How crazy it is to watch Jokic move so slowly, yet so effectively.
I mean,
I said it, Monsi, you know what he's like? And everybody who's ever played a pickup basketball game knows what I'm talking about.
You could be playing with your buddies, and then your buddy's dad shows up.
Yeah.
And he has these old school moves, and it works.
It
and
just
he's just
works.
Schooling everybody.
He's fundamental. He uses technique. Moves so slow, yet so effective.
Jimmy Butler.
So you got to respect that.
Jimmy Butler is exciting.
Very.
Jokic,
the whole team.
Let me tell you what Jokic is. He is the opposite, Monsi, of a fajita. What is a fajita? A fajita is all sizzle.
It's delicious.
It's all sizzle, no substance,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
You get a fajita, you're like crappy
empty.
Little
oh,
piece.
You mean an empty fajita.
Like, yeah, like crappy little burnt steak and like dry chicken.
What kind of fajitas are you having?
But they bring out the fajita tray. Everyone in the restaurant's like, ooh.
Everybody looks.
Yeah.
Ooh,
fajitas.
What did they get?
Ooh, should I have got? No, you shouldn't have got the fajitas. All sizzle, no substance. Jokic is no sizzle,
you're saying
all substance.
He's the opposite of an empty fajita.
Yeah, he is just let it be known, the message today on Fox Sports Radio, Jokic is no fajita. He is no fajita.
You take one thing away from today's show.
Somebody tweet that out from the FSR account.
If you take away one thing, Jokic is not an empty fajita.
Yeah.
He's substance with the sizzle. Or less sizzle.
Yeah.
Now,
and by the way, Monsi said it best. The comeback story also of this Miami Heat team.
That's a big part of it. But I think it's Jimmy Butler's likability. I really do. I think he's the underdog. He owns it. He plays with heart. And I think that's what people gravitate toward.
One more thing. Spoelstra, likable.
Always has been.
Yeah, he's story
likable.
What about Malone? Michael Malone.
Michael.
Yeah, no, he's got a punchable face.
Right.
Spoelstra, you know, when you see Pat Riley out there with his, guy's got like Phil Donahue hair.
Yeah.
It's slicked back. He wore hair products so long. Second thing to take away from today's show. Pat Riley wore a hair gel for so long
that
he doesn't even need to wear it. His head is molded.
Yes.
Like he doesn't wear hair product.
Are you
he
sure
just has
about
white
that?
White guy, like,
I mean,
like
he
your
looks
dad.
Good. He looks presentable. You
but
know
the
what I'm
way,
saying?
The way we learned on the Laker, what was the show we all loved, Danny G on HBO?
Winning Time.
Winning
yes.
Time. The way we learned how Pat Riley worked his way up with Jerry West.
Uh-huh.
That's, by the way, if people don't know, that's how Eric Spoelstra worked his way up with
Pat
Riley.
In the video room or something.
So people like Spoelstra, people like Jimmy Butler, and when I did see this.
By the way, Spoelstra, young dude, this is 28th year with Miami? That's insane.
Was he like 50-ish? 50? I mean, he looks great.
I'm just saying, 28 years at any job, especially a job in the NBA, that's crazy that's been with it that long.
What's Spoelstra's background, ethnicity?
He's 52, by the way.
I know he's part Asian. I don't know if he's Filipino or what.
Yeah, Filipino.
Yeah, he pulls off that thing that you pull. Like some people like look young. Like he's 50-ish.
It's amazing.
52.
He's 52. Looks at you. If you told me Eric Spoelstra was 39 or 41, would you say? Okay,
I'd be like, yeah, that sounds about
looks
right.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
So anyway, we love Spoelstra. We love Jimmy Butler.
Let's see. He's also Dutch, Irish, American.
Hey,
we all know how
mix.
the Dutch, they age fantastic.
Can I throw a little nugget out there, pun intended?
Is the nugget that if when that play-in game happened, if you would have put $100 on Miami, them just reaching the finals, your $100 would have got you $10,000?
That wasn't it, but thanks for adding.
Good nugget.
Again, the question, Fox Sports Radio Nation, why is the world rooting for Jimmy Butler? Do you think we're off on that? Of course, if you're a Nuggets fan, that doesn't apply to you. That's no shade. That's no diss on your team. They're a great team. Why do you think the Heat are the team that the world's behind? And then just a side nugget for
pun intended,
like Danny G. Yeah, pun intended.
Nuggets.
Like, does time move so fast that Kyle Lowry's just such a non-factor? Because it feels like yesterday he was such a key part of Toronto's team. And it's like, wow, he comes in and scores 7 points, and he's like a non-factor.
Yes,
really.
I brought this up last week, the last time Monsi was with us. Remember that
I
wanted to see the role players step up from what they had done in those two losses back-to-back.
I understand that time moves and players play themselves out.
I get it. You see ace pitchers become middle of the rotation guys. But I feel like Lowry's a great example of a guy that was like a key component to a championship team that is now like a ineffective bench.
He can't
play
a bigger role in the finals. I know injuries are a factor. Kevin Love. I mean, we saw it with the Celtics too. It's weird. You're seeing Blake Griffin out there and you're like, man, look at these guys that were stars just yesterday.
Yeah.
And now they're riding the bench. When I see Lowry come out and he scores 7 points and you're like, you're quickly reminded that they got more weapons than you realize, you know?
You know what made me think that too? Not to be all over the place, but that's who I am.
That's fine.
I was watching. I watched the first two episodes of the Conor McGregor documentary.
McGregor Forever.
So good. It's so good.
Yeah.
I mean,
it's on Netflix.
If you like documentaries, if you like the fight
game. For those of you that have your own password, it's there.
Yeah, you might not have Netflix now because you've been stealing it forever.
Right.
But it made you realize how quickly you could be at the top of the game.
Right.
And then you lose a couple fights and everyone's like, yo, I think they're just done.
Like, doesn't it seem like yesterday Lowry was a key component?
Agreed.
Like, to think that he's a side thought on this team. And again, Jimmy Butler would say otherwise. Yo, I don't look at these other guys as role players. They're my teammates.
Yeah.
Everyone plays a major part. I subscribe to that, and I believe that. I'm just saying that I think we were reminded watching him play that, oh, they have other players, and maybe we're going to see these guys step up in the finals.
Well,
because that's where they have experience.
Let's say what's up to Adam in Miami. You're on with Covino and Rich, home of the Heat. What's up, Adam?
I'll give you the two serious, one serious thought, one not a personal thought.
Yeah, go ahead.
On a business level, I'm rooting for the Nuggets because they're the ABA. They need the money. They're the small market. The Heat are already hot and popular. And on a personal level, personally being from the Bronx, which is the truth, and I love L.A. and the West Coast, and I know L.A. could be a little bit of a la-la land, but in L.A. they're very pleasant and very intelligent in Cali. But Miami is one of the rudest cities with a lot of it's the afternoon, so I'll clean it up. A lot of nasty people.
I'll tell you what, that may be true, but when I'm in Miami, Adam, I'm too consumed with looking at butt cheeks. I don't really know the personality
of
the city.
Man.
I'm just like, what?
Miami has an amazing vibe to me.
Yeah, I just look
maybe
around.
Maybe he means the sports fans, but every time I'm there, I have a blast.
Let's go to Ralph in New York. Ralph, quick. Go ahead, buddy.
Gentlemen, man, I kind of equate this a little bit differently. I think it's like everybody's rooting for the Panthers is the same thing, the eighth seed. I equate it to the Giants' undefeated Patriots Super Bowl.
Okay, so the underdog mentality. Even though, see, here's how I look at it, too. Yeah, the Miami Heat have won in the past. The fans have been a little spoiled. But we've never seen Jimmy Butler and that squad win.
That's true. Earlier, we mentioned that for the first time ever, you would think you'd have heard this over the last 20, 30, 40 years. But on Stallone's reality show, he talks about where he got the name Rocky Balboa. Take a listen.
This is where I started, right? This neighborhood. I wrote Rocky right over
there. Right.
I thought this name is kind of silly, but you don't forget it.
Never.
It's either that or baloney.
Yeah, he was by Balboa Boulevard, hence Rocky Balboa.
And again, I'm like the Italian stallion, so it has Balboa sound a little Italian. You know, like Cahuenga doesn't sound like Italian.
Not at all.
I could have been like Rocky DeSoto. That sounds a little Italian. I don't know.
Could have been Rocky Sepulveda.
I could have been Rocky Sepulveda, but it doesn't sound Italian.
I don't think you could have spelled that, Rock.
You know?
Well,
I'm not punchy. I got what you call a relaxed brain, you know?
So we finally figured it out based on this show. And again, Balboa Boulevard is just an exit here on one of the main highways in L.A. So it makes sense. Like, oh, what Balboa actually is? Is there anything in Wackapedia spot? Like, what
Wackapedia.
Is it? Well, it is whack because they took me off of it. So
a lot of the local towns actually have origins behind their names, like they were named after some figure or like another random name from another city in another part of the country. But Balboa, I can't find anything specifically.
I thought it was wild that Spot found that if you don't know this area, there's a town called Tarzana, a city called Tarzana. Oh. It was named after Tarzan, not the opposite.
Yeah, like a lot of name, like Balboa picked it from the names.
Absolutely.
Yeah, it's the other way around for Tarzana. They named it after the movie because one of the I guess people involved bought land in the area and renamed it to Tarzana.
After Tarzan. Tarzana. Same with Encino Man, right? That was
Encino Man was,
no?
Yes, named after the Pauly Shore, Brendan Fraser movie.
Named after your favorite Pauly Shore movie.
Yeah.
But this brings us to something we've never done on Fox, but we've discussed this before over the years. Is there a clear order?
I agree. Again, we've established this. I agree and disagree, and I'll explain. But is there a clear order of the Rockies?
Yeah, I don't want to ever appear wishy-washy in my opinions, but I'm not also the stubborn guy that doesn't hear people out.
Okay, can you hear me out for a second then?
Yes, go ahead.
You guys got to let me include one Creed movie.
I think it deserves it.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I mean, I love
And there would be no Creed without Balboa in the original Rocky movies.
I just keep them separate.
Yeah.
No.
I'll be honest. I loved all the... Do you know what Creed I love the most? But then again, I didn't watch the third one. I love the one with Drago. Creed 2.
The one with Scott Stapp.
No, not that Creed. But here's our order of the Rockies. And then, Danny, you can throw in your Creed.
All right.
I think we could all agree. And it's not as bad as we remember. If you watch it now, you'll say... That's not great, but it's not as awful as everyone says it is. Of the six, Rockies 1 through 5 and Rocky Balboa, the sixth one, number six is Rocky 5.
Coming in in last place, Rocky 5, not as bad as everyone claims it to be,
but
they never fight in a ring, and that's what takes it back a notch.
Could it have been salvaged if he fought Tommy the Machine Gun in the ring?
Yes, and his actual son plays his son in this movie. And it was a whelming performance. Rest in peace.
Yeah,
you know, the kid passed away, so I'm not trying to talk down on him or anything, but it just didn't add up right. And and Sylvester Stallone will back it up, too. He was never really happy with the script, and he agrees. And he's so brain dead in that movie.
Yeah, and the whole George Washington Duke, like, hit me and I'll sue, like he's supposed to be Don King. I don't love it. Rocky Balboa.
Remember when he's playing, or Uncle Paulie's playing Santa Claus?
No. Yeah.
Oh, it's the worst.
Tell Santa what you really want. Hey. That's not Santa. That's Uncle Paulie.
Hey, that's not nice. We're just trying to have a good time. Christmas time.
I mean, he's coming off a beating from Drago, so I get it.
Okay.
All right, so number five.
That's in last place. We all agree.
Number five. I think we're going to put a great movie, but again, it's not as good as the OGs.
Yeah,
but
we're comparing
Rocky,
it to other really great movies.
Rocky Balboa, the sixth installment. Rocky Balboa is number five.
Agree, and it was good. I enjoy Rocky Balboa. Some very quotable, memorable scenes when he's talking.
What is it you say to the kid?
You know, the whole scene.
Life ain't all sunshine
Life
and rainbows.
Ain't all sunshine and rainbows, you know?
That's a memorable. That might be one of the most memorable quotes.
One step, one punch at a time.
Yeah. So a lot of memorable scenes. It's sad. You know, we know Adrian dies. It tugs on the heartstrings. It's a good movie, but it's in fifth place here.
Now we're down to 1, 2, 3, and 4. How do you rank Rockies 1, 2, 3, and 4? You may disagree. You may think I'm crazy. In fourth place, as much as I love Hogan and Mr. T, I pity the fool. Pain. I'm going to put Rocky 3 at number 4.
I agree. You know, it was a little cheesy, I think, those scenes.
Mick dies, though. That was emotional.
Thunder lips. And, you know, Rocky, he's sort of feeling himself. His hair's all puffy. Like, yeah, I got puffy hair now. Look at me. And the whole Mick scene is a little depressing. So it brings a lot of cool elements, but it's in fourth place.
All right, so of the six Rocky movies, we got Rocky 5 at number 6, Rocky Balboa at number 5, Rocky 3 is number 4. How do we rank 2, 1, and 4?
What comes in
1, 4,
top 3?
2, 1, 4? We'll break it down next.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
Hey gang, this is Jay Glazer, host of Unbreakable, a mental health podcast. And each week, we try to help turn our mental health issues into mental wealth. And we dive in with everyone from the world of sports and entertainment, like Sean McVay, Lindsey Vonn, Michael Phelps, David Spade, Guy Fieri, and also those who could help us in between the ears. Anyone from a therapist to someone like Ed Mylett or John Gordon. So each week, listen to Unbreakable with Jay Glazer, a mental health podcast on iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get podcasts.
Last season on the Choosing Sides F1 podcast, we established unequivocally that F1 is the pinnacle of motorsports.
Lily Herman, my co-host in season one, helped me choose a team, a driver, and then...
Well, we sent you on your jolly way.
Yeah.
I'm Tony Karen Brown, a tech, culture, and F1 commentator.
I'm Michael Costa, comedian, Daily Show correspondent.
And we're back with season two because, as it turns out, F1's newest fan is still a little...
dazed and confused.
Join us for season two of Choosing Sides F1 as we dive deeper into the rabbit hole of the pinnacle of motorsports.
Who makes money here?
What's CFD?
How do you manage a tire?
You, get back in there.
What are the rumors? What's the gossip? But you also know that someone's listening to your radio.
I'm going
to
pull up a picture of a tea cozy. I want to see what this thing looks like.
Are you going to be doing that accent this whole pod?
Listen to Season 2 of Choosing Sides F1 on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts,
or wherever you get your podcasts. You find it.
The Big Take from Bloomberg News brings you what's shaping the world's economies with the smartest and best-informed business reporters around the world.
Western nations like the U.S. and Europe.
Mexico will likely have its first female president.
And then you have China.
And help you understand what's happening, what it means, and why it matters.
He'll get his yo-yos to Europe in time. But the longer this drags on, the more worry he's getting.
They knew that they needed to do this as fast as they possibly could to get a drug on the market as fast as they could.
I'm David Gura.
I'm Sarah Holder.
I'm Saleha Mohsen. We cover the stories behind what's moving money and markets.
Basically, everyone was expecting, if not a calamity, certainly a recession.
But the problem is that that paperwork, as our reporting showed, is fake.
As someone who's covering the market, I'm often very worried about an imminent collapse. So I'm thinking about it quite often.
Listen to The Big Take on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Julian Edelman from Games with Names, and we're on a search to find the greatest games of all time. I'm talking Hall of Famers, MVPs, gold medalists.
I absolutely hate the Colts, bro. This game, I swear, led to the Deflategate.
Hey, guys, this ball's a little flat.
Ever wonder what a locker room feels like at a halftime of a Super Bowl?
Julian walking around, I'm pretty sure he had his shirt off for reasons I'm not sure. He was saying, gotta believe.
Oh, you gotta believe. From 18-1 with Eli.
Are you calling Bill just a cheater? Is that what you're saying right now?
He's looking for an advantage.
The 2004 ALCS with Big Pop.
The Red Sox in 2004 bounced back after the 3-0 in a winner chicken dinner, homie.
The Immaculate Reception with Terry Bradshaw.
Fired the ball. I hear the roar of the crowd. I never thought he caught the ball, but he did.
We're going to dive deep into the most iconic games with the most iconic people. New episodes dropping weekly. Listen to Games with Names on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You know what it's time for? We do it every Tuesday.
Mike Tyson was a maniac.
I want your heart. I want to eat his children.
Put an ear to this if you're a boxing brainiac. Iron Mike Trivia.
You can't touch me. You're not man enough.
Yeah, welcome into a Tyson Tuesday.
Hey, Mike.
And security is walking the real deal. Iron Mike into the studio. What's up?
Hey, Danny G.
How was your Memorial Day?
It was a great time. I had, a few hamburgers, a few dogs. But I got to send my best wishes. Yeah, a few hot dogs.
Oh, okay, just checking.
My best wishes to Jamie Foxx. Jamie Foxx is playing me in a movie. He played the young Mike Tyson. I was a different man back then. I was a very angry man back then. I was just a little boy.
Is he pretty chill today, but Mike? Now, did you have any mic bites on the way in?
Very subdued. Yeah, I had some mic bites. It was a long weekend, but I just want to send my thoughts and prayers to Jamie Foxx. And I heard you guys talking about Rocky. I have to say Rocky 3 was my favorite.
Oh,
Mr. T was a bad man.
He was.
He's a wonderful man in real life.
I saw Mr. T at Ralph's, the supermarket out here, and he was at the deli counter. No joke. He was offering. He was ordering turkey breast, and everyone's just looking at him. He's like, "I'll have a half a pound of boar's turkey," and everyone's like, "Oh my God, it's Mr. T."
Yeah, Mike. Across the street, there used to be an Italian restaurant, and Mr. T was always there. So our radio staff would go over there and get pictures. So you're the second most famous celebrity in these parts.
I used to like your cereal too, Mr. T cereal.
That's a good one, Mike.
I used to eat that and Captain Crunch all the time.
Let's get into Iron Mike.
Shut up, old man! You that something who had to come from?
We're gonna meet the contestant right now. 10-time winner Rich Davis.
Yo, buddies.
And in for 6-time champ Dan Beyer is Monsi.
Hi, Mons.
Hey, Monsi. I was a little sad that Ramos wasn't here, but now I see Monsi. Yeah. Hey, Monsi.
Hi,
it's always, always so good to see Monsi.
Looking for his second W, Spotty Boy.
I'm going to do it. This is the week.
And
I
on the
it.
Studio lines, trying to win not only a CNR Nerf football, but also the grand prize package from Tyson 2.0 is Corey in Oregon. Corey, what's up?
Yo, Corey.
Hey, Corey, how do you feel about winning my package?
Stop it.
Corey, what do you do in Oregon?
I hang out in sales.
Do what?
I'm in sales.
Sales? All right, cool. All right, here are the rules for Iron Mike Trivia. The first contestant with two correct answers is the champ. If there's a tie, then we have a couple of tie-breaking questions. Your name is your buzzer, but you do have to wait until all three possible answers are read. If there's two wrong answers in a row, we move on to the next question. Are you ready?
Yeah.
Let's get it on. Round one.
I mean, you guys don't sound that excited to have me. Why do I even bother coming in?
You guys are sounding like this is your Monday. It's Tuesday, dude.
Yeah, come on, guys.
Yeah, you're right. Shake it off. All right, let's go. Round one.
Ding, ding.
What made my time at Tryon School for Boys in upstate New York memorable? Was it A, they allowed me to raise my pigeons? B, a counselor taught me how to box? Or C, family visited me each weekend?
Corey.
Oh.
I'm going to go A.
No.
Monty
for the steal.
C.
No.
You bird brains. I thought boxing was easy. I was giving you guys a chance.
I thought it was obviously not it because it was too obvious. Yeah,
By the way, I take bird brains very offensive because pigeons are very smart.
Oh, no, sorry, Mike. Sorry.
Yeah, I don't take kindly to that.
Yeah, those are very special to you. You guys watch them out. Pigeons are very special to me.
Let's call them rich brains.
All right, we're going to move on to round two. Ding, ding.
Round two. You guys have a very good show, but have you guys heard my hot boxing podcast? Well, on my hot boxing podcast, I said that this is what makes me so violent. Oh. A, my fear. B, my anger. Or C, my upbringing.
Spot. Rich.
Oh.
Ooh.
I'll give it.
Spot.
I'm going to say the fear. A.
Yes.
Yeah! On the board, Monty.
And I said, fear, it's like fire could cook you if you can't control it.
It's true. I heard.
So deep from you, Mike?
Yeah. Very introspective.
All right. Round three. Ding, ding. Spot is on the board.
Fighting me, apparently.
Round three. Is this a match between Spot and Monty?
It seems like it.
I once famously said this about my discombobulating power as a fighter. A, I'm a rhino in the jungle, and you fell off your vine into my domain. No. B, I have Andre the Giant-type power with elusiveness of Sugar Ray Leonard. He's a wonderful man, Sugar Ray Leonard. Or C, I try to catch them right on the tip of their nose to punch their bone into their brain.
Rich. The rhino one, A.
No.
Who made that? Spot, I should go first.
Who's going first? Spot. I said, fine, go, Monty. Take it.
It was Sponsy.
There was a tie.
Spot and Monty.
B.
No.
I was going to say C. You ruined it.
Oh.
Well, that's part of the game. Defense.
Wow.
I said I tried to catch them right on the tip of their nose to punch their bone into the brain. I said that, but I thought the rhino one. But I never said that.
Oh, my God. The rhino one seems so original.
Right. You guys ready for round four?
Mm-hmm. No.
Round four. About a decade ago, I was guest of honor at Peterborough United match, and I made this mistake. A, I accidentally picked up a live ball by the sideline. B, during halftime on a live mic, I said that I never heard of that team before. Or C, I didn't realize that a gentleman that I was roughhousing was one of the club owners. What mistake did I make?
Oh, I think Corey. Yeah, Corey.
B.
Which one? B?
B.
Yes.
Oh. You're right.
Yes.
Wow. I think we got a three-way tie.
We do.
Wow.
What a game.
We're making Tyson trivia history.
What a game.
This is like game six of the Eastern Conference Finals.
This could be for the win right now. Round five. Not too many people left five rounds with Iron Mike. Round five. My older brother, Rodney, is an accomplished A, pilot, B, lieutenant, or C, surgeon.
Spot.
Spot for the win.
B, lieutenant.
No.
Who's got the steal?
Corey. Corey trying for the win.
A.
No!
Man, you guys really stink right now. Everybody knows my brother Rodney, the surgeon.
I didn't even know you had a brother.
Yeah, his name is Rodney. He's a very wonderful man.
All right.
So we'll do the tie break for the three of you that have a point?
Yeah, sure. I'll sit this one out.
Okay.
Okay, no multiple choice. Just buzz in with your name.
You got the rules? We good?
Yep.
Here's the tiebreaker, guys. I idolized two growing up. I'll give you a hint. He was a fighter.
Oh.
Spot.
spot for the win.
Muhammad Ali.
Yes.
Finally.
Yeah. Finally with a second W.
Yeah.
He was the greatest of all time.
Nazi.
But I was the most. I don't want to self. I don't want to sound self-aggrandizing. Self-aggrandizing. But he was the greatest of all time. I was the most vicious of all time.
Yes.
But congratulations, Spot.
Yes. Thank you. Great job.
Say hi to Ramos, guys. Say hi to Ramos.
We will, and we'll see you next Tuesday.
Thank you, guys.
Bye, Mike.
Bye, guys. Bye, Monty.
I would also like to donate my bribery ball to Corey.
Oh, yes. Oh, nice.
Corey, you there?
That's what real winners do, Monty.
What?
Hey, Corey, Monty. Spot is going to send that ball to Oregon for you.
All right, I appreciate that.
Cool. Because if Monty had won, she was going to try to trade it for a margarita.
Yep.
Bye, Monty.
What do we got, Monty? Give us an update, pal. What's going on?
I want to know why Spot was so angry with me.
Bye-bye, Monty.
Stick to updates.
Bye, Mike. Bye. Okay. Guys.
I'm kidding.
My boy, Jimmy Butler, has filed a trademark for Himmy Buckets. Ooh. Take my money. Just take my money right now.
Last season on the Choosing Sides F1 podcast, we established unequivocally that F1 is the pinnacle of motorsports.
Lily Herman, my co-host in season one, helped me choose a team, a driver, and then...
Well, we sent you on your jolly way.
Yeah.
I'm Tony Karen Brown, a tech, culture, and F1 commentator.
I'm Michael Costa, comedian, Daily Show correspondent.
And we're back with season two because, as it turns out... F1's newest fan is still a little...
dazed and confused.
Join us for season two of Choosing Sides F1 as we dive deeper into the rabbit hole of the pinnacle of motorsports.
Who makes money here?
What's CFD?
How do you manage a tire?
You, get back in there.
What are the rumors? What's the gossip? But you also know that someone's listening to your radio.
I'm going to pull up a picture of a tea cozy. I want to see what this thing looks like. Are you going to be doing that accent this whole pod?
Listen to season two of Choosing Sides F1 on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts,
or wherever you get your podcasts. You find it.
The Big Take from Bloomberg News brings you what's shaping the world's economies with the smartest and best-informed business reporters around the world.
Western nations like the U.S. and Europe.
Mexico will likely have its first female president.
And then you have China.
And help you understand what's happening, what it means, and why it matters.
He'll get his yo-yos to Europe in time. But the longer this drags on, the more worry he's getting.
They knew that they needed to do this as fast as they possibly could to get a drug on the market as fast as they could.
I'm David Gura.
I'm Sarah Holder.
I'm Saleha Mohsen. We cover the stories behind what's moving money and markets.
Basically, everyone was expecting, if not a calamity, certainly a recession.
But the problem is that paperwork, as our reporting showed, is fake.
As someone who's covering the market, I'm often very worried about an imminent collapse. So I'm thinking about it quite often.
Listen to The Big Take on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Julian Edelman from Games with Names, and we're on a search to find the greatest games of all time. I'm talking Hall of Famers, MVPs, gold medalists.
I absolutely hate the Colts, bro. This game, I swear, led to the Deflategate.
Hey, guys, this ball's a little flat.
Ever wonder what a locker room feels like at a halftime of a Super Bowl?
Julian walking around, I'm pretty sure he had his shirt off for reasons I'm not sure. He was saying, gotta believe.
Oh, you gotta believe. From 18-1 with Eli.
Are you calling Bill just a cheater? Is that what you're saying right now?
He's looking for an advantage.
The 2004 ALCS with Big Pop.
The Red Sox in 2004 bounced back after the 3-0 in a winner chicken dinner. Homie.
The immaculate reception with Terry Bradshaw.
Fired the ball. I hear the roar of the crowd. I never thought he caught the ball, but he did.
We're going to dive deep into the most iconic games with the most iconic people. New episodes dropping weekly. Listen to Games with Names on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
10 seconds remain. As the Eastern Conference Championship belongs to the Heat. 103-84 the final. For the seventh time in the 35 years of Miami Heat basketball, your Miami Heat will battle for the NBA's title.
Wow. Iowa Sam is proud of himself because not only Miami, the original song... The Heat Goes On. Look at that. On 790 The Ticket, Heat going to the NBA
Finals.
Should have
been the Miami Sound Machine.
I know. Progressive play of the day. My Taylor Swift New York Yankees thought that I have in a second must be paused for a moment because I was amazed as we heard the Miami Heat dribbling out their final few possessions. They took shot clock violations essentially as, I guess you would say, good sports. You don't want to, you know, pile on for no reason. Yesterday we talked about Jimmy Butler, 28.5, over under. How does Vegas
do it?
Danny G hit me up. Other friends hit me up because we talked about it yesterday. Luckily, I did not make the bet.
How does Vegas do it?
Trust me, I've made a lot of bad bets, but I forgot to lay off. I forgot to do this, so I laid off. It was Butler 28.5, and we were saying, well, we should pound the over. 28.
And there was 4 to 5 shots there in the second half that rimmed in and out.
NBA's rigged, man.
That's what I meant.
NBA's rigged.
How many times do you see people say that?
Yeah. Dude, it's wild.
But it is wild how they get that.
28.5. Meanwhile, he ended with 28.
That was wild. You know what else was wild? You see how your Mets dropped lazy Gary Sanchez, and then the Padres picked him up? It's like, why would they do that? No. I don't know if he caught that.
It happened with Robbie. Happened with Robbie Cano at the end of his career, too.
He is a mush. You don't want this guy on your team.
Yeah, grand opening, grand closing for Sanchez as a Met, huh?
Here's a guy with all the potential in the world, but he's so damn lazy.
Maybe that's it. Maybe he just lost it. Who knows?
You guys talking about me again?
I'm just watching the Padres. Other lazy guy.
Oh, okay.
The lazy Sanchez. I'm just watching the Padres on TV, and I'm like, I can't believe they picked him up.
She gave you the old lazy Sanchez? So anyway, my thought about the Yankees and Taylor Swift.
Oh, boy.
I want to just start by saying I've made quite a career, not only in sports, radio, and TV, but I've worked in pop radio, mainstream radio, and television. I like pop music. I don't deny it. But I am not a Taylor Swift super fan by any means. I admire her talent, her skill. Her fan base is huge. I can't believe the phenomenon that we are witnessing. Like, we're talking... I want to throw this out there because today on Instagram and Facebook and Twitter and Snapchat and you name it, TikTok, the Yankees
Friendster.
Were asked. Friendster, MySpace. The Yankees were asked, what is your favorite Taylor Swift song?
Because everybody's jumping on the hype train. That's all it is.
I don't know if it's a hype train.
It's the pickleball of music. It's just the hype around it.
Yeah, but so it's not like she's new, dude.
People
she's
are like,
been
what's
around
hot?
For 15 years.
Taylor Swift is hot, so they're going to talk about it. It's the hottest ticket
all
in town.
All the New York Yankees, you know, your team, were quick to tell everyone what their favorite Taylor Swift song was. Monsi, I ask you. I ask Monsi.
Yes, ask me.
I mean, you probably weren't even born yet because you're a younger woman. But when we were kids,
okay.
Michael Jackson was a global international superstar.
Of course.
I will venture to say Taylor Swift is number two to him. There is no, you could say the Beatles, yeah. Elvis, yeah, maybe back in, you know, they were,
Madonna.
It was a different world. Madonna, nope, Taylor way bigger. I looked up the stats.
Mm-hmm.
Record sales, Billboard toppers, attendance at concerts. Madonna was doing arenas. Taylor Swift is doing MetLife, Gillette.
Yeah.
People are spending thousands of dollars. I think, you know, Danny G always says we're prisoners of the moment.
Mm-hmm.
I think the opposite here. I think we're not giving this young woman enough credit. She is.
You're saying we're watching history in the
making. We're watching history and like. Because,
history, Michael Jackson style.
Because a lot of grown men are like, oh, yeah, Taylor Swift. Yo, she is this generation's Michael Jackson.
I totally agree with you. I totally agree. I love watching those videos of them asking different players on different teams. And they all know a song by Taylor Swift.
I reluctantly agree because it's really hard to believe. Because Michael Jackson was once in a lifetime kind of guy.
I think she's that for women in a way. Like she's the woman version. Monsi, you see...
I don't know if you guys remember what it was like.
I know, but
when Michael Jackson released the Thriller video...
I get it.
It was major event.
It was folders.
I don't feel the same way about
billboards.
Taylor Swift.
Well, of course you don't.
You don't. You're 45-year-old man.
Does. It's not
no,
an event.
No, 100%.
You think families are getting together? It's just a hot ticket. Supply and demand. She's successful. She's great at what she does.
Your perspective is
but
skewed.
You're putting it with Michael Jackson, dude... You know, globally, people were crying just for a piece of the guy. When
what do you
fame
think people
mattered,
are doing now?
You know, fame mattered then. Fame was like the thought of seeing Michael Jackson would
clearly,
have people faint.
Clearly,
I've seen Taylor Swift.
Right,
I wasn't that impressed.
That has to do with social media.
We gotta continue this tomorrow. Until then, arrivederci, baby.
See you in the promised land.
I hate you all.
Goodbye, guys.
Any college baseball fans out there? If you're traveling to see your team and need a place to stay, two words for you: Graduate Hotels.
We stayed at the Nashville location for the SEC tournament. It was awesome. Beautiful rooms, cool vibe, and perfect location. They have over 30 hotels in the best college towns. And get this, they'll give you up to 30% off your stay with code CRSHOW. That's C-R-S-H-O-W. Good at any Graduate Hotel, any location, up to 30% off. Book today at graduatehotels.com.
Last season on the Choosing Sides F1 podcast, we established unequivocally that F1 is the pinnacle of motorsports.
We did, but honestly, I was left with more questions than answers, Tony.
I'm Tony Karen Brown, a tech, culture, and F1 commentator.
And I'm Michael Costa, comedian from The Daily Show.
Join us for season two of Choosing Sides F1.
Our F1 102, if you will.
And get all of the answers.
All of them? Listen to Choosing Sides F1 on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts,
or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Big Take from Bloomberg News brings you what's shaping the world's economies with the smartest and best-informed business reporters around the world.
We cover the stories behind what's moving money and markets and help you understand what's happening, what it means, and why it matters every afternoon. I'm Sarah Holder.
I'm Saleha Mohsen.
And I'm David Gura. Listen to The Big Take on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.